Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 26, 2020. Happy Thanksgiving. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Finding a Way. Area neighbors remain thankful, continue to adapt to COVID. By Pantograph staff. We never thought it would last until Thanksgiving, and yet here we are. In spring, the Pantograph began talking to residents about how they were dealing with COVID. It seemed unthinkable this would still be with us through summer and fall, Mother's Day, Memorial Day, and Halloween, and now Thanksgiving. But as our community members told us, there are certainly plenty of things to be grateful for, despite the challenges, despite the many steps to get here. Their stories reflect the conversations and issues many of us are facing about the virus, about the fallout, about what happens next, and amid all this, what they are thankful for this holiday season. This Thanksgiving is the first time in 42 years Sharon Chung has not spent the holiday with her parents. We're kind of not at a great place right now in our community in terms of COVID cases, and I can't see it getting really that much better right now over the next few weeks, said Chung. Chung, a professional classical musician and private instructor in Bloomington, is taking extra precautions to keep her family safe. That means staying home and celebrating with her husband and two daughters rather than traveling out of town. With statewide increase in coronavirus cases, Chung said her family decided staying home is the safer option at this time. But for Christmas, she said, they will most likely quarantine for 2 weeks before visiting family. Chung said the realization she is missing her first Thanksgiving with her parents was difficult, but she and her husband will try to make the most of it for their daughters. I'm excited to try and make it memorable for my kids here because they won't be able to see their cousins or their aunts and their grandparents, she said. We're trying to do something. We're probably all going to do a big family Zoom call and celebrate that way. As a member of the McLean County Board, Chung is also encouraging people to remain vigilant and avoid large gatherings to slow spread of the virus. She urged people to avoid the temptation and to stay safe. We're in 8 months of this, and I know a lot of people are at that pandemic fatigue that we've been reading about, said Chung. We're all in this together and can get through this together. Although Chung and her family have found a special way to celebrate this year, she said the holidays can be a difficult time for many people. For that reason, she said, it is important for people to make connections with others and find someone to lean on when times are tough. Chung herself has found comfort in talking with friends and people outside of her household, either through Zoom or on the phone. The holidays can already feel isolating for some people who don't have big families, she said. It's important to find those people that you can trust and that you can lean on. Chad Govea is on the front line of the significant fall surge in COVID-19 cases. The respiratory therapist at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal said he's the busiest he's ever been since he joined Broman in 1994. The virus seems to have attenuated, reduced in force, for most cases, Govea of Bloomington said last week. However, we have seen many seriously ill patients here in the last month. We still don't fully and scientifically understand why it manifests differently in people. Govea told the Pantograph in May that the challenge of treating COVID-19 is it behaves unlike anything else. While most viruses stay within one organ, COVID-19 binds with receptors that line the inner lining of blood vessels, causing damage and blood clots, reducing blood flow to organs, and causing organ stress and failure, he said. We are still monitoring and seeing high coagulation clotting trends in most of our seriously ill patients, Govea said last week. We have been utilizing non-invasive interventions like high-flow nasal cannula oxygen devices quite frequently and successfully. Currently, we are gathering data on inhaled heparin, which has been shown to act as an antiviral, anti-inflammatory, and anticoagulant, which is an exciting potential therapeutic intervention. To reduce risk of COVID exposure, Govea and his colleagues are wearing full garb isolation gear, which takes time and makes work more difficult, he said. Despite the challenges, Govea said his message to people is, "We will get through this." The mRNA COVID vaccine is the one blockade against this organism, he said. It is easily the most important intervention in this fight. It's a remarkable achievement that will also vastly accelerate the development of many new kinds of treatments. Govea said his advice to people on celebrating Thanksgiving is to err on the side of caution. My family has decided to limit outside parties because of my work and potential high-risk exposure to others, he said. Govea said he's thankful for my wife, my family and friends, and my team at Karl Broman Medical Center. More than 400 Clinton-area youth remain active with The Vault, a Clinton-based teen center which opened in the fall of 2018. But social distancing and recommendations to stay at home make it tough, says the founder and program director, Michelle Witzke. We are doing our best to make it through this challenging time, Witzke said. Last week, officials with The Vault had to readjust their plans once again, following the decision by the Clinton School District to discontinue in-school education. Due to the escalation over the past few days of positive cases in our county, among our families, staff, and students, Clinton will be moving to its full remote learning plan, said Superintendent Kurt Nettles. However, the recent increase in the positive cases has also caused many students to have to be excluded from school due to being close contacts. In the past several days, we have also had a number of support staff and instructional staff have to be excluded from school as well. We feel that not only instruction will be affected, but we fear the impact on our food service, transportation, and maintenance staff will happen as well. With that announcement, Witzke said social activities at The Vault also had to be changed. Since our policies usually reflect the schools, we had to scramble to figure out what to do, she said. During the fall, students have practiced social distancing, but have participated in a number of events, wearing masks, and limiting the number of participants. But beginning November 30th, The Vault will only offer limited programs and services by appointment only between 2 and 4 p.m. Monday through Fridays. Enrichment classes, student support services, and tutoring will continue. More and more, we are recognizing how vital The Vault is to this community and providing support for not only our teens, but for their families as well, Witzke said. We are committed to trying to find the right balance between providing appropriate mental health support while at the same time protecting them against COVID. Witzke helped raise more than $400,000 to help turn a vacant tanning and hair salon on the square in Clinton into a community center for teens that opened in the fall of 2018. The Vault has turned to social media to communicate with the students and the community. Every Thursday is Thank You Thursday, where officials thank those in the community for their support and post pictures of activities involving area youth. Jennifer Ponson of Normal has seen a few dark clouds during the year of the pandemic, but her advice is to look for the silver linings. In a year like this, you really have to focus on the silver linings. You can't focus on what you lost or you'll drive yourself crazy, said Ponson, a substitute teacher and mother of five. At one point, her husband Dan lost his job, but he landed a new one as an independent contractor in information technology at Country Financial that he likes better than his former job. He is enjoying his new job and doesn't have to commute to Peoria, said Ponson. She cites the convenience of today's modern technology as another silver lining. It allows her to be, in effect, in two places at once when there are simultaneous Zoom meetings at Kingsley Junior High and Parkside Junior High School, the two Unit 5 schools where she is a substitute teacher this fall. Plus, every Unit 5 teacher got a new laptop, which she said has helped her do a better job of teaching. She has been filling in for a teacher on leave and hopes something more permanent will come through when that ends. Meanwhile, her school-age children are coping with the challenges of technology while learning remotely. Her youngest son is in eighth grade. What's frustrating for him is when the technology doesn't work the way it's supposed to, said Ponson. He does so much better to have teachers working with him one-on-one. On the other hand, her son, who is a sophomore, loves remote learning. He keeps his laptop next to him in his room, and he never has to roll out of bed, she said. Is that a teenage boy or what? Her youngest daughter, a junior at Normal West Community High School, is super smart but struggling with online classes, two of which are dual-credit college-level classes. But the silver lining is that her dual-credit courses have opened up a whole new world for her, opened up her awareness. It's a different scenario for each kid, said Ponson. It's been a wild ride this school year. Having a mother's perspective has helped her better understand her students and the struggles they may be having, she said. But juggling all the tasks of teaching, cooking, and doing laundry and dishes can be difficult. We have to give each other grace. That's advice I got from my principal at Kingsley, said Ponson. There are things that you can't control. All any of us can do is the best we can. Ponson said, I tell my kids, try to do something you love every day, even if it's only a few minutes. And look for silver linings. A fresh batch of hot sauce isn't exactly part of the typical Thanksgiving Day preparations, but Paul Ritter and his fellow science teachers try to keep things interesting at Pontiac Township High School. PTHS has spent the fall semester in a hybrid model, with some students still in full remote learning. Ritter said he is thankful to be able to continue teaching in this system that really works for us in the times that we're in. Our kids want to be here, he said. We have zero discipline problems. We have zero issues because they want to be here so bad. While he would never say anything positive about the pandemic that's keeping him away from much of his family for the Thanksgiving holiday, Ritter has found silver linings in the COVID clouds. I am approaching this as an opportunity for change, an opportunity to improve what we do by being creative in what we're doing to meet the needs of these students, he said. Part of that change has been recognizing that some students do their best work at 3 a.m. Ritter said he wakes up responding to overnight questions, and sometimes a Sunday afternoon video call is the best way to help them get through the schoolwork. We do not have a start and stop time anymore. I've got to meet them where they're at. If I don't, then I've lost them, and I can't, We can't, my team can't, the people I work with can't afford to lose them. 8 months in, Ritter says there are good days and bad days, but life is choices. I choose to be positive. I choose to see the good in all. I choose to be thankful. This year has not been easy, and since the pandemic came to Central Illinois, Ritter hasn't hugged either of his parents. And it just feels terrible, but I also know that if my sacrifice is this little thing for their safety and welfare, then by golly, that's okay, he said. There will be a time for hugging. In the days leading up to the holiday, Ritter, his wife Jody, and daughters Bailey and Taylor hadn't decided if they will share a meal in person Thursday, but no matter what, there's plenty to be thankful for. We get to focus on each other, he said, of staying home with Jody. That's one of the things that I'm truly thankful for, that I get to spend time talking to my wife and my kids on the phone and my mom and dad. Well, there are things that are definitely an inconvenience. Gosh, there's a lot to really be thankful for. Miranda Wiggins' senior year of high school is not what she expected. After years of hearing friends and family members tell stories about how great their last year of high school was, or how much fun they had, Wiggins is a little disappointed. I've worked really hard to get where I am, said the Bloomington High School senior. My journey to my senior year was not easy at all, so it was kind of sad that COVID hit and I wouldn't get to do all of the senior stuff. Wiggins is studying from home and attending virtual classes this semester, along with her sister, a sophomore also attending Bloomington High School. But she's making the most of it. We're pushing as hard as we can, said Wiggins. There are some perks, she said, like taking advantage of the 15 minutes between classes to sneak in a power nap or grab a snack. She also enjoys FaceTiming her friends, many of whom are attending the same classes, to talk about schoolwork and collaborate. And along the way, she's learned a few life lessons. I've learned a lot about myself and my relationship with God, about being more patient and not being anxious for nothing, said Wiggins, adding that she tends to rush into decisions. I always say everything happens for a reason. While what will happen during the spring semester is unknown, Wiggins said she is hoping to at least attend prom, especially since she didn't get to go her junior year. In the meantime, it's college application season, and she's excited to share that she was accepted to her top two schools, Eastern Michigan University and Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. Thanksgiving and Christmas are a little different this year for Wiggins' family as well. This year, they will not make the annual trip to Chicago to see their grandparents, which means missing out on valuable family time as well as Grandma's famous home cooking. Wiggins said arriving at her grandparents' house the night before Thanksgiving is one of her favorite parts of the holiday because we just see all the food covered up and we just know, oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing the next day. Holidays can be rough for some people, but Wiggins says, thanks to COVID, she has branched out more and learned to stay in touch with friends and family. Throughout the pandemic, she has strengthened relationships not only with friends, but also family members. Occasionally, she gets the feeling to reach out and ask her friends how they're doing and let them know she misses them. I just want to tell people I love them, I'm caring about them, reaching out to them, she said. In these dire times, you really have to be careful about everything and just staying safe. And here's a story entitled, Food Giveaway Aided 10,000. Agencies hosted two-day distribution of holiday meal boxes. By Paul Sweech. Normal. Nearly 10,000 Central Illinoisans will be giving thanks beyond Thanksgiving because of the generosity of their neighbors. Home Sweet Home Ministries, Midwest Food Bank, and Thrivin Financial hosted Give Thanks, the annual two-day distribution of food for people who can't afford a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, on Saturday morning and on Monday night at the Food Bank, 2031 Warehouse Road, Normal. When the distribution ended at 8 p.m. Monday, 2,322 households, representing about 9,288 people, had received a meal box, said Matt Burgess, Home Sweet Home Chief Operating Officer, and Tara Ingham, Executive Director of the Food Bank's Bloomington Normal Division. A meal box consisted of a turkey, 2 cans of green beans, 2 cans of cream of mushroom shoot, 1 box of stuffing mix, 1 box of mashed potatoes, 1 envelope of gravy, 1 container of French fried onions, 1 can of cranberry sauce, 1 box of pie crust mix, 1 can of pumpkin pie mix, and 1 can of evaporated milk. Last year, 2,418 households, representing 8,918 people, received a meal box. The number of households may have been slightly lower this year because some families aren't having extended family Thanksgiving dinners because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Burgess said. But he said, it's no surprise that the number of people who came through was still a high number this year. The need for food assistance is persistent in our community, Burgess continued. We need to always remember that we have neighbors who need the support of others, and that support turns out every year. We have a very generous community. Events like this do not happen without the generous support of our community, and that is at the top of my list of things I am thankful for. Because 2,500 meal boxes were donated by the community during the Big Give collection in the fall, 178 meal boxes are left over, Burgess said. Midwest Food Bank will distribute the remaining meal boxes to area food pantries, Ingram said. They will still go out to the surrounding community to people in need, he said. We know a lot of families are struggling because of the pandemic. You can't help but walk away from an incident like this filled with hope, Ingham said Monday night. To see an entire community coming together to make sure families can have a meal around the table at Thanksgiving is incredibly special, she said. Volunteers helped with the food distribution on Saturday and Monday night. To stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic, recipients kept their vehicle windows closed, and meal boxes were placed in either the trunk or back seat by volunteers who wore masks. The number of volunteers was kept down this year to maintain social distancing, Burgess said. Our volunteers showed up, worked hard, and were fantastic as usual, Burgess said. And here is a column of holiday events by Pantograph staff. Even though COVID has sidelined many plans, socially distanced events are still in the works. Virtual Turkey Trot Run. The free event starts at 8 a.m. Thursday at Miller Park. A kids' run, 3-mile race, and 1.5-mile race are planned. Donations to Home Sweet Home Ministries, coffee, tea, and prizes are planned. This is the 37th year of the event. Uptown Holiday Windows. The holiday display debuts Saturday and runs through December 31st. It includes a projection display on windows at 1 Uptown Circle, the Magic of Christmas Morning display on the north side of the building, where Uptown Circle and North Street meet, and whimsical window installations bookending the projection surfaces facing the circle. The projection display with rotating images will loop from 4 to 9 p.m. daily, approximately every 10 minutes, in the windows facing the roundabout in Uptown Normal. The physical installations will be viewable during daytime and evening hours. The pandemic has impacted opportunities to gather, but it doesn't hamper our ability to celebrate, said Adam Fox, Civic Arts Manager for the Town of Normal. Uptown Holiday Windows gives us a chance to highlight the people, traditions, and memories of our families in our community by sharing images from throughout the years. Small Business Saturday in Normal. Uptown Normal businesses are offering various sales for Small Business Saturday. The unofficial holiday and counterpart to Black Friday and Cyber Monday encourages shoppers to support the economy through local shops. The Farnsworth Group is sponsoring Shop in Uptown Normal on Small Business Saturday events. Season of Small. The Bloomington Economic and Community Development Department has partnered up with 30 downtown Bloomington businesses for Season of Small. Starting on Small Business Saturday through December 24th, shoppers who collect entries in a passport are entered for a gift basket valued at more than $800. Participating businesses include Rosie's Pub, McLean County Arts Center, Red Raccoon Games, Bob's Bay, Meltdown Creative Works, Night Shop, Wilson Cycle, Alley Cats Antiques, Common Ground Natural Foods, Refine 309, Main Gallery 404, Lala Boutique, Beck's Family Florist, Two Frugals Thrift, Vera and Buck Floral Studio, Hip Cat Music School, The Little Art School, Cruisin' with Lincoln on 66 Visitors Center and Gift Shop, Timothy Kent Gallery and Framing, Specs Around Town, The Bistro, Crossroads Handcrafts of the World, Fox and Hound Hair Studio and Day Spa, The Copy Shop, Bloomington Spice Works, The Mystic Kitchen and Tasting Room, Inside Out Accessible Art, Von Champ's Boutique, The Yarn Garden, and Ivy Lane Bakery. And here's an item entitled, Driver Says He Was Shot in Bloomington Road Rage Incident, Police Say. Bloomington. A motorist being treated for a gunshot wound Wednesday told authorities he was shot during a road rage incident. The McLean County Sheriff's Office, in a statement early Thursday, said Bloomington police were notified at 10:05 p.m. that a 23-year-old man arrived at Carl Broman Medical Center. He told investigators that he was shot during a road rage incident that occurred on Alexander Road near Oakland Avenue in Bloomington. The statement said, the victim's injuries are believed to be non-life-threatening, and vehicle and suspect information are being obtained. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact the Sheriff's Office at 309-888-5049. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 26th. Please stay tuned.